Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Thad Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Yes, joining us now for his weekly visit is John Daniels, GM of the Texas Rangers. How are you doing today, JD?
I'm good, Ben. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing really well. We appreciate you taking the time to join us, and especially since there's some great Rangers news or fascinating Rangers news as you guys have pulled off a trade. So tell us about the Pete Fairbanks for Nick Solak trade and how it all came together.
Yeah, you know, I think it stems from starts from having a really good relationship with the Tampa group. A lot of dialogue there. back to last deadline, we talked a bunch in the off season. You know, they were part of the three-way deal with Profar, Brock Burke coming back, and so a lot of dialogue and kind of knowing what each club's trying to do and who likes who. I was there last week and saw Eric Neander, and you know, they've liked Fairbanks for a while. We've liked Solak for a while. As things, we talked about a variety of different things. And, Fairbanks, not a guy we were looking to move. You know, tremendous story on his part and our pitching coaches in the minor league and our rehab group, Keith Comstock, Sean Fields, Napoleon Pichardo out in Arizona. I mean, he was a senior sign in the draft at a University of Missouri, I think ninth rounder in 15. Kind of a bit of a generic start to his career. Had Tommy John, and to his credit, he goes in and tells those guys, "Hey, I know I'm a potential release if I come back the same guy. Can you help me?" And they kind of change his arm action and really make some major changes to his delivery. And he comes out throwing pellets. He was an 88 to 92 starter, and he came out 97, 98 reliever with a power slider and shot up through our system this year. Got to the big leagues. And we just looked at it like as much as we're looking for relievers that have that kind of ability. Definitely, there's risk in relievers in general, and also, the two-time TJ adds a little bit of risk. I think he's going to be good, but there is some risk there. And then with Solak, just a guy that right-hand hitter. We've been looking for to add upper-level right-hand hitters for a while. We're very left-hand heavy. Big-time baseball gamer, really good feel to hit, really good approach, has some power, and just like the options that he provides for us. So it was a value for value deal, and I think it helps both clubs, and both clubs hurts a little bit too.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of it to me, John, is this whole idea that you guys are both vying for a wild card spot, but you got to see what's happening now as well as what's happening in the future. So I got a twofold question here. Number one, do you think they view Fairbanks, I mean, he's pitched a little bit with the major league team for you guys. Do you think they view Fairbanks as a guy that helps them immediately with the big league club? And then where do you guys kind of see Solak ending up ideally?
I do think that they think Fairbanks can help him in 19. I think that, they sent him down. They optioned him to Durham, so he's not going to start in Tampa. I think if, as they're looking at it, they said, listen, some clubs might ask for a Nick Solak if we ask for their – relief. They're going to be looking for bullpen help here at the end of the month. And if we ask for, a team asks for Solak for a guy that has, a couple months control or a year and a half control, and they'd rather trade him for the extended control that Fairbanks has, contractual control, and take whatever risk there is that he hasn't pitched an extended period of time in the big league. So I think it makes sense from their standpoint what they're trying to do. And for us with Nick, he's going to play probably 90% of the time in Nashville at second base. He played, outfield in college, first 2 years, and then he went to second base his junior year. So he's actually a natural outfielder that has been working to convert to the infield. And it's, you know, he works hard. Some transitions are super natural and easy. He's getting better there. I think he's close to average now, but it hasn't been like, you know, a real easy transition like some guys make. But so we're going to really work him there at second base and see what he can do, and then see where it goes from there. Obviously, we have a second baseman in Rugi, but you know, competition's a good thing. Right-hand bats that can do different things, both second base or in the outfield, are hard to come by, and you know, we like how he has a chance to balance our lineup going forward.
Obviously, jumping on with us every week is a chance to kind of visit with the way the front office is thinking and try to relay those messages to fans. And so I want to ask you something here, and you can shoot it down immediately. You just addressed it in part. But so the fan reaction to this deal is, ooh-wee, okay, the organization is sending a message to Rougned Odor. Is that the case, or is it just not so really much about that?
No, it's not about messages. I mean, you know, we've spoken to Rugi, and we told him early on that, some areas that he can look to make some adjustments, and to his credit, he's been working there, and he has played better. But, you know, we told him that, listen, this was not going to be a situation where if he's struggling, we're going to look to send him down. We're going to, you know, I think he's past that point in his career where he's got to be able to kind of get on track here. But if there are other options that are helping the team better, that, you know, would be playing time that could come into focus. So, I mean, I think he understands that. That's not what he wants to hear. He wants to play every day, obviously. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast. At some point here, if somebody else is a better option and Rugi is not turning the corner like it looks like he has been the last few weeks, then, you know, we'll look that direction. We'll consider that.
John Daniels joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. Please, in no way is this an overreaction, but I do think there's a curious last two or three weeks with Mike Minor, so I'd like to kind of just get your opinion on this. First of all, there's, what was or wasn't going to happen with the All-Star game, and then there was also the weird thing, John, which it's just kind of hard to plan for, but what happened with Tyler Skaggs, and then that kind of threw things off, and then he didn't have a great performance the following night. And then there's the weird timing of the All-Star game, and he's not playing in that. And then he comes back and doesn't have a particularly sharp performance. So, in your estimation, what is happening with Mike Minor over the course of the last 2 weeks, if anything in particular?
Actually, Skin, I think you just summed it up pretty well. I think it's just a series of kind of unconnected events that have led to a bit of a choppy schedule for him. And, you know, guys are... Starters in particular are such creatures of habit and a routine. Mike is so diligent as far as a worker and kind of what he does to prepare himself. He's probably our hardest worker, certainly in the discussion, maybe up there with a lot of the position players, the way he keeps himself in shape and gets after it. And I just think, you know, when you the situation with the Angels game was obviously tragic, and this is a, you know, byproduct, and you know, nobody's complaining about it, of course, but it does throw him off a little bit. And then, and even the game he pitched was surreal that night, and not kind of a traditional environment. We had been talking with him even before that about, you know, maybe skipping a start, and kind of decided to do it at that point. The All-Star break, and then coming back. So I actually thought he settled in pretty well after the second inning the other night. Looked a little rusty command-wise at first, but, you know, got a bunch of punch-outs after that and was able to pitch around some base runners. And, you know, my expectation is that, you know, he'll kind of get back to where he was. But it's nothing more than you described, just kind of an awkward couple weeks from a scheduling standpoint that, you know, I think maybe threw him off a little bit. And if the... You know, worst result of that is, you know, 5 innings, 3 runs, 7 punch-outs. That's not too bad for having your schedule thrown off.
So we've been talking about this a lot on our show, and I know a lot of the media has been talking about this, JD, and that, okay, this stretch out of the break, this is a chance for the front office to evaluate where this team is. Are you going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline? And Seems like your job would be made much easier if the answer was definitive in either direction. Like, okay, clearly you're sellers or clearly you're buyers or what have you. But if the team continues to play like they did in this series where there was a lot of good, but it's 500 for a series, it's going to make things extra difficult on you, I would imagine. And so in your mind, I'm not asking you to share this with us, but do you have a number of games back that you guys would need to be to stay in it? Or is it possible that somebody overwhelms you with such an offer that they make that decision easier on their end?
Yeah, they all play a role. There's no like trigger point that we've got to get to where it's, you know, we're plus or minus, and that's going to determine our trade deadline stands. I mean, and listen, like, you don't make decisions on July 31st. I mean, the conversations are ongoing. I think kind of talked with the beat writers the other day. I mean, I just think it's, we're looking for value and we're looking to kind of move the entire thing forward. We're probably not looking to trade, big league guys for, guys in rookie ball. I mean, we're probably not looking to do that, and we're probably not looking to trade our best young prospects for rentals. But I think just about anything in between is a consideration, but we'll factor out obviously how the team's playing in addition to, where we are in the standings will play big roles, but so will, what the value of the deals that are possibly out there. So the conversations we're having with clubs right now are all over the board, and I don't think we're the only team in that category.
Bassick brought up an interesting topic that made me think of a lot of different things when we were talking to him when we were doing the shift change earlier. And I was thinking about it, and he brought it up in regards to Mike Minor, but I immediately thought of Sam Dyson, how you identified that. Obviously, a lot of different teams could have had Lynn for a certain amount of money, and they passed. When you guys are looking for players on other teams that may be a fit here, that maybe aren't reaching their full potential somewhere else or are utilized in a role that you guys see differently, is there a core thing that you sort of look for in identifying some of these guys that end up here and then really flourish here?
There's different. I mean, each one of those three cases were very different in kind of what we looked at. Dyson was kind of were some pitch characteristics off his sinker that were really, really unique. Our analytics department played a huge role in that one. Minor was kind of just really putting the whole puzzle together, getting to know him, talking to the guys around him in Kansas City. Just seemed like, this was obviously a risk moving him into the rotation, but, just seemed like all the ingredients were there. And then Lynn was a guy that, kind of like what you said, I think we went in, it was interesting that we actually thought he was a little undervalued, and then we got kind of some heat for signing him, that we signed him for too much. That was a bad deal on our part. And I think that was one where just kind of like market forces, and we evaluated a certain way, and he's rewarded us so far.
Well, congratulations on what's been a great season to this point and a lot of interesting discussions based on some rock solid work by the front office. So we're excited about the future. We're excited about watching baseball and air conditioning. What's that been like for you to look across the street and see that beautiful new stadium coming together?
Oh, man, it's been fun. It's been fun. I know a couple of our guys went and toured over there with our business folks the other day, going down to where the clubhouse is. You can start actually kind of telling where things are supposed to be and go, and it's cool. I mean, we've taken a little bit of a break in terms of some of the planning, but I know that's picking up again here, is picking out some stuff for the offices, and it's going to be kind of chaotic moving over there because our timeline, and then we're going to look to move the first couple weeks of February, and then we're going on to spring training. So we're going to have to come back and kind of shift and move in with the clubhouse and the clubhouse guys and strength coaches and medical guys, and it'll be a little crazy, kind of operating spring training, getting that all set up and getting the new ballpark set up, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we're going to send over a nice frame picture of myself and Skin for you, for your office, something nice, real nice, just to put behind your desk, just a huge mural.
Got a spot all picked out for it.
All right, thanks a lot, JD. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.